All right, so get ready, because today we are diving deep into the fall of the ancient kingdoms of Israel and Judah.
Kingdoms full of twists and turns, that's for sure.
We're going to be looking at a lecture by Dr. Robert Vannoy all about the kings of these two kingdoms. And
some of these rulers, let me tell you, you just won't believe some of the things they did.
I know, right? It's like a soap opera, but with, you know, empires and prophets.
It really is. Now, covenants play a big role in all of this.
Covenants.
Yeah, covenants. We're talking about the agreement between God and the Israelites.
Okay, right. So, like a contract.
Exactly. A contract with some pretty high stakes. I mean, this thing affects everything. Their harvests, their political stability, you name it.
So when things start going bad for Israel and Judah, is because they broke this covenant.
You got it. Now we have to remember, after King Solomon, the kingdom splits in two, right? Israel in the north, Judah in the south.
Ah, so that's where all the drama starts.
It's like a family feud, but with like huge consequences for everyone involved.
Jeroboam the first in Israel, Rehoboam in Judah, setting the stage.
For centuries of conflict. And that division, well, that played a huge role in their eventual downfall.
So where do we start with all this?
Well, let's start with the northern kingdom. Israel. Their decline after the assassination of King Zechariah was so fast.
Hold on, wait. Assassination? Now that sounds a little intense.
Well, power struggles were pretty fierce back then.
I bet.
So yeah, assassination was definitely a tool that got used. And actually, Zechariah's death, well, that fulfilled a prophecy about the Jehu dynasty only lasting four generations.
Oh, wow. Kind of like dramatic foreshadowing.
Right. So what happens next? Well, the Jehu dynasty crumbles, and Israel pretty much descends into chaos. We see all these rulers come and go.
Most of them not going so peacefully, I'm guessing.
You could say that. But here's where it gets really interesting. The northern kingdom was stuck between a rock and a hard place.
What do you mean?
Well, they were dealing with all this internal strife while also facing this growing threat, the Assyrian Empire.
So they had enemies at home and brought.
Exactly. Sounds like a no-win situation.
So what did they do? Did they try to fight the Assyrians?
They did, but their strategies were, well, let's just say inconsistent.
Okay.
So you have King Menahem, who decided to try diplomacy, paid tribute to this Assyrian king, Tiglath-Pileser III, for protection.
Smart move, right.
Well, it might seem like it, but it kind of showed weakness. And when you show weakness to an empire like Assyria, well,
it's kind of like painting a target on your back.
Exactly. Now, later, King Pekah decided to try a different approach.
What did he do?
Rebelled against Assyria. And he also formed an alliance with the king of Damascus. They wanted to attack Judah, force them into an anti-Assyrian coalition.
Those things are starting to escalate.
They really are. Now, what did Judah do?
Yeah, good question. Did they join forces with Israel against the Assyrians?
Not quite. See, King Ahaz, he was ruling Judah at the time, had a different idea. He appealed to Tiglath-Pileser for help.
Oh, so that's where Tiglath-Pileser comes back into the picture.
Right. And this is really what sealed the fate of the northern kingdom.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, Tiglath-Pileser, he answers Ahaz's call and he marches his army westward. And as he's going, he's conquering territories left and right.
Wow.
He even installed a new king in Israel, a guy named Hoshea, hoping for, you know, a loyal puppet ruler.
Yeah, so he can control Israel through this Hoshea guy.
Exactly. But after Tiglath-Pileser died, Hoshea saw an opportunity, stopped paying tribute to Shalmaneser V, the new Assyrian king.
Oh, I bet that didn't go over so well.
Shalmaneser was furious. He besieged Samaria, the capital of Israel, for 3 long years.
3 years.
3 years. Finally, Samaria falls. That was the end of the northern kingdom.
So what happened to all the Israelites? I can't even imagine being forced from my home like that.
It was brutal. The Assyrians exiled them all over their empire, scattered them to prevent any future uprisings.
That's just awful.
And of course, the Assyrians weren't going to just waste all that valuable land.
Right.
They resettled people from other conquered territories in Samaria. That's how you get this mixed population that eventually became known as the Samaritans.
Oh, okay. So the northern kingdom is gone. What about the Assyrians, though? They just keep conquering and conquering.
Well, even the mightiest empires have their weaknesses. Even the Assyrians.
You're going to have to tell me more about that.
We'll get to that. But first, we're going to need to take a little break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back to continue our deep dive into the fall of Israel and Judah.
So before the break, we were talking about how powerful the Assyrians were. But you said their power wouldn't last forever.
Well, like a lot of empires before and after them, internal conflicts and overexpansion played a big role.
Makes sense.
They also had a series of rulers who, let's just say, weren't exactly known for their stability.
Oh, right. Like Sennacherib. He's the one who besieged Jerusalem during Hezekiah's reign, right?
That's him. And remember how that turned out for him?
Didn't his own sons end up killing him?
Exactly. Hmm. Talk about some family drama, huh?
Seriously. So who took over after that?
His son, Esarhaddon, and then after him, Ashurbanipal. He was a fascinating guy.
What was so special about him?
Well, he was known for being pretty ruthless.
I can imagine.
But here's the twist. He was also a big-time bookworm.
Wait, hold on. A warrior king who loved to read.
It's true. His library at Nineveh has given us so many ancient texts.
Wow, that's amazing.
It tells us so much about their culture and intellect, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But even with his love of literature, even that couldn't save the Assyrian Empire.
So what happened?
Well, you had all these internal rebellions starting up, especially in Babylon, and that really weakened their hold on power.
Oh, right. And then there were the prophecies of Nahum.
Right. The prophet who predicted the destruction of Nineveh.
Didn't those prophecies eventually come true?
They did. The Medes and the Babylonians, they teamed up and conquered Nineveh in 612 BC.
Wow, that's a big deal. So that was the beginning of the end for the Assyrians.
It really was.
So with the Assyrians gone, was that Judah's chance to finally thrive?
You would think so, right? But it wasn't that simple.
No.
Remember, Judah was kind of stuck in the middle of all of this.
Right.
King Josiah, he actually died trying to stop the Egyptians from helping the Assyrians.
Oh, that's right. And Josiah was the one who tried to reform Judah after finding the Book of the Law.
Exactly. That was a major turning point for them religiously.
But what exactly was in this Book of the Law? I mean, was it like the whole Pentateuch or just Deuteronomy?
That's a good question. Scholars still debate that today.
Uh-huh.
Whatever it was, it had a big impact on Josiah. When he read about the covenant curses, well, he was shaken.
I bet.
He was determined to bring Judah back into alignment with God.
It sounds like he had good intentions. So why did Judah still end up being destroyed? It seems like his reforms didn't do enough.
Well, some scholars think that even though his reforms were sincere, it was kind of too little too late.
Because of everything that had already happened.
Exactly. You have to think about all those years of turning away from the covenant, especially during Manasseh's reign.
Right.
I mean, those consequences were already set in motion.
It's like sometimes you just can't escape the past.
Mm, that's a good way to put it. Josiah's story is so complex, full of good intentions, but ultimately unable to change what was going to happen.
So let's talk about Manasseh then. He's known as one of the most wicked kings of Judah, right?
That's right. He was a complete contrast to his father, Hezekiah.
And Manasseh, he reigned for 55 years, didn't he?
He did. It was a long time to be in power, that's for sure. He really undid a lot of the good that Hezekiah had done.
So what did he do that was so bad?
According to the sources, he brought back all sorts of pagan worship. He even sacrificed his own son in fire.
Oh, wow, that's horrible.
It was, but, you know, he did eventually repent.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he was actually captured by the Assyrians and taken to Babylon.
So he repented while he was a prisoner?
That's the story. The Assyrians, maybe they saw him as a potential ally, and they allowed him to return to Jerusalem.
So he was given a second chance?
He was. It goes to show that change is always possible, even for those who seem beyond hope.
But did his sons follow his example?
Unfortunately, no. His son, Amon, he was assassinated after a very short reign. And then came Josiah.
Who we've already talked about.
Right, the reformer. But after Josiah, things went downhill again.
Yeah, I remember Dr. Van Ooy talking about all those kings with the confusing names and even more confusing reigns.
It was a whirlwind. Political intrigue, rebellions, and ultimately tragedy. And at the center of it all was the rise of Babylon.
Led by Nebuchadnezzar.
Exactly. He's the one everyone associates with the destruction of Jerusalem.
This is where things get really intense, right?
It is. But before we dive into all of that, let's take a step back and talk about those last few kings of Judah.
Okay, good idea. I'm ready for this.
It's a story full of twists and turns. You won't want to miss it.
So we left off talking about the last few kings of Judah. It seems like things just went from bad to worse for them.
It really did. Bad decisions, rebellions, and finally, the destruction of Jerusalem.
A whole series of unfortunate events.
You could say that. So Josiah's son, Jehoahaz, he takes the throne, but...
But he doesn't last very long.
Nope. He didn't follow in his father's footsteps. He went back to idolatry, and then Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, well, he captured him.
Wow. Talk about a short reign. What happened to Judah then?
Well, Pharaoh Necho decided to put Jehoahaz's brother on the throne. His name was Eliakim, but they changed it to Jehoiakim.
Okay.
Talk about starting your reign under someone else's control.
Right.
But then after Nebuchadnezzar won that big battle at Carchemish.
The one that ended the Assyrian Empire.
Right. Jehoiakim ended up under Babylonian control.
So he's basically stuck between these two powerful empires.
He was. Tried to play both sides. Sometimes he'd submit to Babylon, sometimes he'd rebel.
Sounds risky.
It was. And it didn't work out too well for him in the end.
This is where the prophet Jeremiah comes in, right?
Exactly. Jeremiah was warning everyone about the Babylonian captivity.
Yeah. He was telling everyone that Jerusalem and the temple could be destroyed.
Imagine how popular that made him.
I can't imagine anyone wanting to hear that.
No kidding. But he kept going, even when Jehoiakim burned that scroll with his prophecies.
He was really brave.
He was, always speaking truth to power. But his message, it was mostly ignored.
So what happened to Jehoiakim in the end?
It's a little unclear.
Yeah.
But it seems like he died a pretty violent death.
Sounds about right for a king in those days.
Then we have Jehoiachin, Jehoiakim's son. His reign was even shorter.
How short are we talking?
3 months. Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem and Jehoiachin surrendered. He and a bunch of others were taken captive to Babylon.
Another deportation. It's hard to imagine having to go through something like that.
It was a turning point for sure, the beginning of the Babylonian exile. But Judah, they still had one more king, Zedekiah.
Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. I have a feeling this isn't going to end well.
Unfortunately not. Even with Jeremiah's warnings to just submit to Babylon, Zedekiah decided to rebel.
Oh, no.
And that led to the Babylonian siege and the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC.
The destruction of the temple must have been devastating.
It was. The Babylonians, they burned the temple, they captured Zedekiah, and then they killed his sons right in front of him. Then they blinded him.
That's horrible.
Then they took him to Babylon.
So what happened to all the people of Judah? Were they all taken as prisoners too?
Most of them were deported to Babylon. But Nebuchadnezzar, he appointed Gedaliah as governor. He was hoping to keep some order.
Okay.
But then Gedaliah, he was murdered. The people who were left, they fled to Egypt.
Wow, so the exile wasn't just one event. It sounds like it went on for years.
It did. From the northern kingdom to the destruction of Jerusalem, it was a really long and painful process.
It's hard to believe that such powerful kingdoms were just wiped out like that.
It's a reminder of what can happen when you break covenants and ignore warnings.
So what were some of the key dates in all of this?
Well, you have 730 BC, when Tiglath-Pileser III took captives from Israel.
Okay.
Then 722 to 721, when Shalmaneser the V took Samaria. And then 605 BC, after that Battle of Carchemish.
Okay.
Then 597, when Jehoiachin was taken to Babylon. And finally, 586, when Jerusalem fell.
It's amazing to think how those events still shape Jewish history and identity today.
They do. These once vibrant kingdoms, they were just reduced to ruins.
Mm.
And their people were scattered.
That's a powerful story. What really stood out to you from all of this?
I think the thing that gets me is how the choices these kings made are still relevant to us today.
What do you mean?
Well, the desire for power, trying to stay true to your values, ignoring warnings. These are all things we still deal with today.
I see what you mean. It really makes you think, what can we learn from all of this? How can we apply these stories to our own lives?
That's the big question, isn't it? Are we paying attention to the warning signs in our own lives? Are we making choices that align with what we believe in?
Makes you think.
It does. These stories might be ancient, but their message is timeless.
Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive. It's really made me realize that history isn't just dates and names. It's about real people who made choices that had real consequences.
That's a great point. And those consequences can still teach us something today.
They can. If you want to learn more about this period of history, you should definitely check out Dr. Robert Vannoy's full lecture series.
There's so much more to explore.
There is. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.